Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guest is Larissa Walega of ZBart, and today's episode is brought to you by Citron Cooperman and Subtle Strauss. Subtle Strauss eliminates the franchisor marketing busy work of redundant customizations while protecting brand standards by giving franchisees self-service access to customize, print, download, and mail brand right collateral for their local markets from one central online portal. They offer franchises scalable solutions for managing their marketing collateral, direct mail, promotional products, and signage needs. Growing brands like Goldfish Swim School, Christian Brothers Automotive, and Topper's Pizza have saved thousands of dollars and have been able to run their marketing programs with a small graphic design staff by leaning on Subtle Strauss as a strategic marketing partner. You can get a free demo or download some case studies at subtlestrauss.com/franchise. Today's guest is the new VP of marketing. Congratulations, Larissa Walega of ZBart.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Jack. I'm so happy to be here. It's so great to hear your voice and connect.
Yeah, I think it's been about 11 months since you and I have seen each other, and that's probably the longest we've gone in several years without actually seeing each other at one of the franchise events.
Seems like 11 years, but yeah, yes, no so kidding. Great to connect.
So before we get into marketing trends and all of that, you know, business stuff, how are things with you? How's the family? How are things in Michigan?
Things are very good. You know, myself and my family, we continue to be very blessed with good health, which is all what, you know, all we all want at this point, right? Yeah. So very happy to report that. I have two twin girls. They're 13. They turned 13 during the pandemic. So we rolled right into teenage years amongst all this, but I'm very, very proud of the two young women that they're turning into. They're handling virtual, then back in school, then back in virtual, and whatever they may be doing that day very, very well. And I couldn't be more proud of them. And the rest of my extended family, both in the family and the ZBart family here is doing very, very well. The team within these four walls and the team outside of our four walls in our, you know, many, many countries that we're in, as well as across the United States, the franchise owners have really stepped up during this entire pandemic from the start until now. And just continue to service their local markets, be there for their employees, continue to pivot. I know we don't want to hear that word anymore, but
that's okay. It's the word of the year.
It is. It was pandemic. Was the year. I know. I was surprised to hear that, but yeah. So, but no, everybody's doing very, very well. And we're just trying to be there for our customers. And we'll get into all those different kinds of trends and what we see going on too. But really happy to report that overall, ZBart is doing very well.
I remember you and I speaking several months ago when the whole pandemic hit. This had to be maybe in early April or so. You guys started doing something at the local store level with doing some cleaning and things like that for first responders and frontline workers and things like that, keeping their cars clean and safe. And that was one of those initial news items I saw that made me think, wait a minute, this is how things are going to go for the rest of 2020. It's not going to be businesses saying, please come use our services because otherwise we're going to go out of business and oh, woe is me. There are a lot of brands, especially in franchising, that just stepped up and started cleaning things or feeding people or doing something to really kind of pay it forward. And I just wanted to mention that because it was one of those very first helpful news items that we saw back in April that really kind of changed my thinking about how franchises were responding to this.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that because, you know, one, on a global scale, I agree with you. I think that franchising has always been a family and really stepped up. We saw that in a number, like you said, a number of different brands that said, got around their table or their virtual camera, right? And said, okay, what can we do? It's like going to battle with everybody else to try to fight this. So thank you for bringing that up. We really tried to, we did the same thing. We stepped back and said, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Like, what can we do to help? And like you said, many of our franchises stepped up to the plate and did wipe downs for first responder vehicles within their local markets. What was kind of interesting about that, though, is out of that, then we started getting questions like, okay, what about if I'm not a first responder, right? What should I do then to make sure that my vehicle is staying safe and staying healthy, because I do still have places to go. And so we were really proud and happy to share a number of do's and don'ts disinfecting tips around the globe that we kind of put out there to share, just to help, you know, the everyday person. They can't, many people were still at that point, like you said, and this was now mid-April, May, didn't want to go out, but their vehicle has always been and continues to be your connector with the world, right? I mean, you can go out there, look at all the different studies and research that's happening right now. It still is 10% or less of people are not feeling like they're safe or can be safe using public transportation. So that bodes very well, not only for OEMs in terms of new vehicle purchases, but used vehicle purchases as well, and definitely aftermarket. And so having said that and knowing that, going back to that time frame, people wanted to get out there, but they were very, very cautious. And now you're rethinking everything that you did, right? Like, I just touched this here at the grocery store, and now I'm getting back in my car. Oh, shoot. Like, let me spray my hands for the 500th time. So we gave a lot of tips to try to help with that. And then as the pandemic moved on and things started to open back up for most of our stores, we were deemed an essential business as well. But some of ours did close. They still had to close regardless based on state laws and regulations that they followed. So most of our stores were back up and running beginning to mid-June. And then, you know, things just kind of took off from there.
And how are they all doing now? Let's say, you know, July till now, have they seen, you know, a pretty steady business return to them? Are they way down for the year, or, you know, what's kind of the overarching view for the industry?
Very, very steady return. And we can attribute that to a number of things, but the strongest variable and reason that we see, right, when we're as marketers putting the consumer first and trying to understand, you know, what's important to them right now, it's extending the life of the vehicle. There's a lot of people that are putting off either that new car purchase now, or even that new car to them, that used car purchase as well. They're saying, okay, I might have only wanted to hold on to this vehicle for the average length of ownership right now is 6 years in the United States. I was going to hang on to it for 6 years and then probably, right, I might have had it paid off, hopefully paid off by then. I'm going to go ahead and turn it in and get something new. Lots of people are planning, unfortunately, on not doing that. But fortunately for aftermarket, that's a great thing in that they want to maintain that vehicle longer. And so that's the connector. Really for us, an appearance and protection, something that Zeebart's been working on now for the past couple of years, is positioning ourselves as part of that everyday maintenance of the vehicle.
That's an amazing trend. And I will tell you, I fall right into that category, because I had been planning for a while that summer of 2020 that's when I'm going to get a new car. And summer of 2020 came and I thought, I'm really not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, I'm not driving back and forth to the airport a couple of times a week, that's for sure. So maybe I'll put that off another year, or we'll see what things look like next summer. So I think that's a great point. There's got to be so many people who need a little bit of help protecting their car, getting something worked on or something looked at, or at the very least, one more winter where we need, especially up here in Chicago and Detroit, where we need a little bit more protection, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the thing is that if you go out there and you read your automotive news or whatever you're looking at to stay up on the car industry, that 12 plus year old vehicle segment is up by 44%, up 33% since 2010. So the 4 to 10 year old segment and the 11 plus year old segments, the two segments that kind of drive aftermarket, right?
Yeah.
Those just continue to grow. The average age of vehicles is 11.9 years. And like I said before, the average person keeps their vehicle on average about 6 years. So maintenance and repair is very much in demand and continues to just grow because of some of those factors.
It's going to be a really interesting case study someday because our vehicles, kind of like the rest of us, have all gotten a year older, but they haven't really gone anywhere, right?
So No, it will.
Not a lot of mileage put on this year, but they're all getting 1 year older and definitely could use a little bit of maintenance or something at some point this year, I think.
They say the average person goes, which, you know, I guess I could believe it, about 10 trips a day. Well, you've only decreased about 2 trips going in and out of the office. So it's interesting. You really are still using your vehicle. And that's the part of where, you know, our whole idea is about keeping that new car feeling in your life. And so that's what we base a lot of our decisions and thinking about our consumers at sort of the center of that planning phase of the brand.
And I would also guess, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but maybe we're talking about the first half of 2021. People won't be flying the way we were a year and a half ago, but they are probably starting to get a little itchy and maybe they've got a little bit of a traveling Jones happening, right? So do you see car trips happening more and more over the course of 2021 in place of flights and you know, maybe it's day trips and local trips and that kind of thing within the state?
So much of that we already, you know, saw that I think this summer. I think that's going to continue at least definitely into that first half of 2021. And we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens with the vaccine. We'll see how trends go. But all of those studies are showing that there's just very much a continued concern with public transportation.
Yeah. I have to admit, and I'm a public transportation guy here in Chicago. I'm all for it. I've used it my whole life, but I haven't been on a train in Chicago in 10 or 11 months and not really sure when that's going to happen again. So, you know, so we're back to being car guys here. Let's talk about other marketing trends that you're seeing for 2021, whether it's traditional stuff or digital stuff or franchise related marketing. What are some other things that you're seeing that you would like to share with the other marketing pros in the audience today?
That's a great question. One of the things that, you know, I've seen us have success with is, like I said, about 2 or 3, maybe it's 4 years ago. It's been such an exciting time. It seems like it was yesterday, but we really took a step back as a brand and almost started from scratch in terms of developing what our new positioning was, our updated positioning for our company. We've been around for 60 plus years. So as a legacy brand, we are continuing to renew and refresh where the brand needs to go to meet consumers' needs. And one of those trends that I feel like it's not anything necessarily new, but just something to always take into consideration is content creation. I know that we've talked about that constantly, but we take a very strong, hard look frequently at our personas, right? Those people that we're trying to connect with, our target audience. And we really dive deep into them. We have three. We even did another brainstorming just this morning, in fact, and we just kind of talked about them. And we feel like that's really important because as marketers, we probably all looked at them last December, what do they look like now? You know what I mean? Like a year later, you can't invite them to your same table and have the same conversation. It's just not going to happen. So as you know, as all of us as seasoned marketers write our plans and put all our numbers together, and that's all great, you're still, your job is to connect your brand to a consumer. So I, as a recommendation, as something that I'm pretty proud of that our team does here, we're always stepping back and we're talking about like, okay, let's welcome our, we call them Brian and Carol and Evan. Let's welcome Brian and Carol and Evan back to the kitchen table. Let's serve them a cup of coffee and let's just talk about what's going on. And we have those kind of role play, but real life situation and conversations. And it really helps us think about what we need to say, how we need to say it, even where we need to say it as we move into 2021.
I love that idea of going back and maybe doing a bit of a refresh on your personas, because if you update that once a year, well, guess what? The past 12 months have been really more like 5 years, and you know, people's lives have changed drastically, and their needs that you can serve as marketers have definitely changed. So kudos on that. That's a great idea. Nobody has really brought that up on this show so far this year. So I love that idea. That you talked about the content marketing that you guys are doing. Where is most of that living? Is it on Zbart's websites and pages? Is it somewhere else? Is it in social? And what kinds of content are you creating the most of right now?
It's kind of everywhere. I mean, it's mostly promoted on social. Our target audience and personas are still primarily focused on Facebook. So we never stepped away from that. We continue to utilize it as our number one channel with growth in Instagram. But something that's interesting, and then we'll definitely talk about, you know, kind of what we're saying, how we're approaching it. But, and I know this may go against the grain because I talk all the time about how I feel like Facebook is your living room and LinkedIn is the boardroom. And I used to say, rarely do the two mix, but I think everybody can agree after this year that there's a little bit of mixing going on. There's a little bit of rum with a little bit of Coke. So,
heavy on the rum. And also a lot of board meetings taking place in the living room right
exactly,
now.
Exactly. So I feel like this time period really kind of tested that. And so we tested it too. And what we found is the conversations around our brand, when we're putting some of that content on LinkedIn, that in the past, we may have not done that. We may have used it more as a update on franchise development or update on results of the company. Now we're kind of peeling back the lens a little bit more, and we're talking more about the consumers and about the brand and what we mean to them. And I think that seems to be doing very well. We're getting a lot more engagement with that. And I think because in a way too, we're opening up that lens, whether it's to prospective franchisees or investors or whatever the case may be, we're just showing, you know, what's really happening, where maybe some of those people may have not thought about following us on Facebook before, where our larger following is. But it just seems all of a sudden I'm watching these numbers grow on LinkedIn and I'm like, okay, that might've worked. So it'll be interesting as we build our content calendars for the future, where we spread the content, right?
Yeah. I think for a lot of marketers, it was really easy for the past dozen years or so to say, well, between this hour and this hour, people are on LinkedIn and they want to talk about business. And then at 5 o'clock, they're going to switch over to Facebook. And then at 8 o'clock, they're going to turn on cable news or whatever. Right. And I think the reality has always been, it's much more of a mix. But this year, as you pointed out, the boardroom and the living room are definitely merging into one blurry day, right?
Yes.
And I think, you know, people if you ever get the chance to, you know, sit in an airport or somewhere and watch people on their phones, they're not doing business, then doing fun stuff, and then doing family stuff. And then, you know, it's all part of the same thing. They're all of the messaging is coming through one screen, you know, sort of bang, 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 here it comes. So I love that idea of merging all of those worlds, and Facebook and LinkedIn are just really good symbols of work life, personal life, and that kind of thing. And, you know, all of those things have kind of merged into one big murky swamp right now, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think something just to add on to the end of that thought is that, you know, you create this content. We were all about, especially this year kind of gave us, we always felt like we were struggling to have time to create content.
Yeah.
And this year gave us just a little bit. I mean, we were always busy nonstop, but it did give us a little bit more flexibility to create some of that. And so when we approached content creation, specifically for our consumers, again, those persona brainstorms often help, because they were about brainstorming the needs first, and then educating on the needs, and then defining how you service the needs. Mm. And part of the promotion of that, you asked me, in addition to social, was definitely public relations. We started with a new partnership with a public relations partner this year, and it has been absolutely fantastic. It has made a huge impact on growing brand awareness for our brand, and creating that connection with people that may have not ever heard of us before, or heard, you know, how automotive aftermarket and specifically appearance protection, which is what ZBART does, is a part of everyday maintenance of your vehicle. So that I all day long will throw kudos that way.
Yeah, big fan of PR, always have been, and it seems like it's more important now than ever. Are there any other ways that you're approaching this content creation and sharing process outside of PR?
I don't think there's any new ways per se, or anything that's different. But what I do love to talk about is our internal creative team. Hmm. Our whole team in general, who's amazing, A, and B, who participates in content creation and brainstorming ideation all the time. But it was a huge and very worthwhile investment to invest in our in-house creative services team. We have a kind of lead creative manager who also dives in and creates things all the time, whether it's static or video as well. And that investment has paid out numerous times. Just having that, I'm not going to say that there's not a place for outside partnerships, because there definitely is. But sometimes having that kind of smaller team internally, when you just need to like pick up a camera and go because something's happening right now,
yeah,
has really helped us when it comes to adding to some of that content. So I find that's been very helpful for us in developing our content library. And in addition to that, we've also started, it hasn't gone out yet, but we just recorded our first 6 podcasts, so yeah, we're really excited.
There you go.
There you go.
I was hoping you were going to get to the podcast side of the thing. So,
we were. Great. So we'll see how that goes. But we're excited to, you know, bridge the gap of, like we were talking about, even Facebook and LinkedIn, right? It's not about the time of day people are doing things anymore, because people are doing things at all hours of the day. So it doesn't really matter, but you have to meet them where they want to be. And it's not just, and how they want to consume your content, right? Some people want to read a blog. Some people want to hear that blog. Okay. So having all those places as opposed to just focusing on one has given us a lot of opportunity to open up.
And I think that's the right approach that some brands still are not comfortable with, that what you said about meeting people where they already are.
Right.
There are lots of people who will never listen to a podcast. You could cue it up and send it to them and they won't listen to it. I'm one of those people who I rarely read a blog anymore.
Right.
I just have no desire to go to someone's blog site and read something that that I actually have to read and then maybe watch a video. And I'm just like, isn't there a podcast for this?
Right.
You know, and then there's other people who, you know, will only see something if you push it out to them. And, you know, I think the smart marketers going forward have realized that this isn't one or two channels. This is 25 channels right now. And a year from now, it might be 40 channels. And we need to be in all of those because we have customers in all of those and we have potential franchisees in every channel right now. So,
right.
So kudos to you on that.
Yeah. It's not about creating for the channel. It's creating the content first and then applying the content to the channel the way that it should be consumed.
Yeah. And then that also gives you the ability to upcycle content for many, many different purposes. So excellent for that. I'm going to check out the podcast from Zbart as soon as it is ready. And before we go real quick, if some of our listeners have some questions for you on any of the marketing trends you've talked about or any of the aftermarket automotive stuff that you're working on, where can they learn more or where can they maybe ask a few questions of you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn, obviously. Feel free to find me and connect. Love making connections in the franchising world and out of it, obviously, too. And then hit up zbart.com. We're really just plugging away and pushing into such great content that we hope will not only help potential franchisees consider an investment in our brand, but also consumers and how they extend the life of their vehicle.
Before we go, a quick word from our friends at Citroen Cooperman. Citroen Cooperman is proud to be home of one of the leading franchising practices in the country. With over 40 years of franchise experience, Citroen Cooperman provides a full range of services to a vast number of franchise concepts. The Citroen Cooperman franchise practice is comprised of experienced CFE-accredited professionals, providing franchisors and multi-unit franchisees the guidance and insight they need to minimize uncertainty, meet compliance and contractual obligations, and stay focused on serving their franchisees, customers, and building their businesses. For more information, check out CitroenCooperman.com/industries/franchising and have a chat with my friends Aaron Chytovsky and Michael Iannuzzi. And thanks for listening to Social Geek. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. This is the Social Geek Radio Network.